Gracious, what a great way to start a recording. Doing it again. Oh. Alright. My mom's birthday. She's turning 76. Cinco de Mayo. What else is there to say? I'm on vacation, very quickly thrown together vacation. I was so bored at work last week. I was like, I should have taken it last week, but this is the last week of school, so this is finals week technically, and after that, things start getting really wild. While people, finish up the semester. And then we start doing all the crazy stuff that we can do while school's not in session. And it's actually out of session for a few weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks. And, start tearing things up. So here I am on vacation. I'm actually headed north. There's been access to the Sabinoso wilderness for, let's say, for a couple of years now. And, I've been saying I needed to go, and told Lisa, let's go. And she didn't want to. She often doesn't, and that's okay. And so I said, well, then I'm going to go. And she's like, ooh, she doesn't like me doing things kind of vaguely dangerous. And I understand, good reason. Anyway, so this morning I'm headed off to the Sabinoso Wilderness, take some pictures, do some stuff. My favorite drives right here, going north out of Tucumcari, Highway 104, ultimately ends up in Las Vegas, but we're not going to Las Vegas, so I am leaving civilization. You can technically get some gas at Conscious Dam, but I wouldn't do it. Way too expensive. And eating an apple. So, it's going to be a little screwy out here. Goats! I'm going to drive across at least near the Fort Bascom historical marker. It's actually out here, not too far away. Up on Fort Bascom yesterday. Some guy for his doctoral dissertation made Fort Bascom his subject, so I got a copy of that dissertation. I haven't read much of it. Thank you. was younger, dreamed of having a little place out here, and, you know, doing small-time agriculture, and, honestly, over time, I figured out that it really isn't, it's really kind of a silly thing to do. It would just be silly to do something like that when you really, you know, you don't have animals, you're not keeping anything. I don't even keep a dog or a cat. So to be out here is kind of pointless, so you don't even bother. Lots of people hiking on the road right now. Very interesting. It's not very, I don't remember a lot of people hiking on these roads. Fort Bascom historical marker. So the actual site, which is on private land, you can't get to it anymore without some kind of permission. They call it the Canadian River isn't too far from right here. And I've been working on my Wilfornia website transfer. Transferred all the personal stuff maybe a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm in the midst of doing Wilfornia, and I gotta say, it's taken some time because, golly, I actually collected quite a bit of stuff. This is mostly pictures and descriptions. And, so, it's getting there, and I'm still collecting new stuff. Added the little town that really didn't materialize called Hayden, which is actually in Outer Wilfornia. It's up close to Amistad in Union County. You can see, I go to this website called Acre Value and go and see, and it's all partitioned up. Most of the roads never materialized, but it's all partitioned up, and some of the partitions are owned by people that, you know, there's whole sections of it owned by one particular person, which I think owns a big ranch around it too, so it's like that. But then there's little bits here and there that are owned by other people, and it's like, boy, I could get that. So I'm one of my big problems is I still get very obsessed about things that I really have no business being obsessed about anymore. I need to throw out this apple core. You never know, my grow tree out there. Call it littering out here, but that would be kind of dumb because I don't think it's littering. Anyway, so yeah, Man, this is beautiful territory. I don't understand why Lisa doesn't like this particular part of the journey. I find this more beautiful than going down through Quay Valley, which is south of Tucumcari. The area north of Tucumcari is far more, I think, visually appealing. However, Lisa's much more, I think, I don't know what the right word is for it, but she's a far more emotional person, and she takes the trip to Freeportals and Tucumcari far more often, so that she has a much more emotional tie to that particular going down into Quay Valley off of the Calf Rock, and she really likes that. It always declares how beautiful it is. And although I find this area north of Tucumcari very, very appealing. You know, I like it up here myself. I used to travel this way quite a bit. Of course, when I worked for the Cooperative Extension Service. So I was driving these roads on a pretty regular basis for work. And like doing that. Anyway, so yeah, we just went by where Fort Baxter used to be, and I'm going to read that dissertation, have a lot more, or certainly download it already, and we'll put it up on the website, on our Fort Bascom website, because it is really a big Wilfornia thing, and if you don't know what Wilfornia is, you know, I come up with a couple of names. Quay County itself was named for a Pennsylvania politician that was really trying to be helpful with New Mexico statehood. Now he was a very corrupt politician. So when you say, boy, he was doing some wonderful things, it's like, be very careful. What you say? Was he a good guy? And you go, he might have done good things by accident. I actually have a cartoon. There was actually some cartoons done about this guy, and it shows that he was going off to Florida. We were saying to go fishing, and he had abandoned the new states that were coming up, which was Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma, Arizona, and New Mexico. And, of course, New Mexico was the last state to be admitted to the union of those three. Oklahoma, I think, went pretty quickly. It actually happened before 1900. And then Arizona and New Mexico were in the teens. Like, New Mexico became a state in 1912. And I think Arizona got admitted to the Union a little earlier. We were the 48th state. The only ones that got in after us were Hawaii and Alaska. So the last bit of the United States to be quote civilized. I think that's funny because I think my part of the state has not been very civilized at all. The fences were put in, it was platted out, sold off, of course, that was done. But didn't really get terribly civilized. Every effort was made to try to make these things happen, and it just kind of didn't happen. Just shortly after statehood, my family was already in this area. Down the railroad town of Clovis. Tucumcari survived because it was a railroad town. Of course, the highways and then the interstate came right alongside the railroad. But yeah, once you get away from the interstate at all, heck, that wasn't even a sure bet. There's little places along the railroad that were water stops probably, and they are now dead. Montoya, Newkirk, Cuervo, places like that. San Juan is slowly going into being that. One of the things that kept it alive was the fact that it had a school. It had an established school, and when other schools closed, the smaller ones around it, they consolidated down to San Juan. And so San Juan continues to survive, although it's a good question as to whether that's going to happen anymore. I don't. The times of school consolidations died a while back. Now, after this coronavirus stuff, and who knows exactly what's going to happen with what happens after this. New Mexico's not in bad shape because we have oil, natural resource of oil, and a lot of our tax base is based on oil. Right now the demand is really low for oil, but as it goes back up, which it invariably probably will, coffers will be okay again. This was just a weird circumstance. And we anticipate things to get back as the world starts righting itself from coronavirus. Things should probably come back. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity for a lot of things to change appreciably. I don't think ours is one of the places where there will be a lot of changes. Like I said, we have already had our exuberant times. It was actually back in the 20s and the 30s. You know, when everybody, when the land out here was still being given away, and you could buy up. Land was available for a song. Everybody said, "Oh, this is wonderful, beautiful land. Lots of trees and forests." And I was just looking at one of the old maps from I think 1880, and it said verdant land. And they must have looked at it after a really nice rainstorm. Because, yeah, it does turn green here, but for most of the time, we don't have much water at all. And, and it said, plenty of water, and you go, yeah, we have a lot of Playa lakes, especially up on the Cap Rock, that fill up and make it look like that this place is just swimming. And, if you catch it at the right moment, it's great. So, all these people came out here from the east with Eastern ideas of, you know, I'm going to get 160 acres of land. Oh my gosh, I can get rich off of that. You go around here, you go, you might have a few cows, one or two, a few goats, whatever. Goats were definitely not what Easterners were looking at. They were, you know, or just straight farming. And the Agricultural Science Center that I used to, where my office was when I worked for the Extension Service, it lived over in, it was actually set up to to do research on dry land farming, non-irrigated farming, although this part of the, back in the day, and quite a bit after, probably into the 50s, big projects were done to dam up the Canadian River, which happened, and to do irrigation projects, mostly around Tucumcari. And all that stuff is still there, you know, these are big permanent projects. A lot of my property tax goes to, water from the irrigation project, Arch Hurley Irrigation District, and it doesn't profit me at all. It's supposed to profit the larger economy around here, so they actually tax me for it, you know, and sometimes, I think this year, there's actually water in the ditch. That's great. The only problem is there's enough years that there is no water in the ditch that farming isn't very practical around here. You're not going to make a lot of money. I'd have to say the vast majority of people who do, quote, farming here just raise alfalfa. They just raise hay for local ranchers, and that's it. that's pretty much it. Other things have been grown. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but by and large, no. It's just not. This isn't a reliable enough place. Okay. Well, we're headed toward Conscious Dam. I'm going on to Trementina and then up Corazon Hill. Up to, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forget the name. Anyway, I'm going up, just outside, just up Corazon Hill, there is a little old town site, pretty much gone now, a couple of people still live there, because it was chunked up into pieces, and people can still buy those chunked up pieces to get a little bit of territory. And anyway, so I forget. Oh, I can't believe Trujillo, I think, is the name of the little town up there. And then that's where you get off the main road, off the paved road, and go on the dirt and down a county road, going to the wilderness, to the trailhead. And like I said, just a couple of years ago, it was totally surrounded by private land, so there was no access to it, although it had been designated a wilderness by the federal government. And but then the Nature Conservancy came in and bought a ranch, or a chunk of a ranch, from somebody that actually then gave you access to the wilderness. Excellent. What a wonderful thing. And so that's why I'm out here today doing all of this. Beautiful land. Very cool, very good contouring. There's 5-acre tracts of land here on the far side of Conscious. The sad part is I was talking to a friend of mine who's been from this area for, when was he born? He was born in 1944. Grew up around here. And he says the primary problem out there is that there's no wells, there's no water. The only water you'll have is from rainfall catchment. And let me tell you, when you only get, on a good year, if you only get, you know, 16 inches of rain a year, precipitation, period, and it does not snow particularly out here. It does, but it's like half an inch. Not very much. You know, there's just not, you practically have to have water hauled out here. There's only certain areas where water, you can actually get water. And, and that area isn't one of them. Tucumcari has water. If you're by one of the creeks, even if they don't, you know, even if it's just standing water there, that doesn't mean there's water underneath there. It's just usually underground, but it's only down like, you know, you only have to go down 40 or 50 feet to get to a good solid water table. And that's a wonderful thing. And the great part is the Tucumcari, unlike so many other places where there's just a lot of people and they're drawing from that watershed very, very hard. We don't have any more. Uh-oh. I think we have some. No, those are just birds. I thought we might have had cows on the road. Now we get a little bit closer. It's just a bunch of crows. Boy, I wonder what they're all doing there. I don't see. Oh, there is something there that they were working on. They were just basically having a party around this piece of carrion. Crows are mostly our carrion thing. It's not that we don't have buzzards, but I think we have more crows than buzzards around to take care of carrion issues. The most to travel on this road is to Conscious Dam for the people who have boats. I wouldn't call it major recreation area at all. It isn't one of the prime ones, I tell you. So nothing about this area really is, oh, we've got a huge draw. And you go, nope, there's no huge draw here. This is marginal rangeland, and I mean marginal. You won't see, like right now I'm looking, and in the whole grand scheme of things, I see two cows. And they're not very close to each other. Social distancing, we've been practicing social distancing in this land. I think it's always been this way, you know, back into the antiquity. Just what little of the sense I got for the dissertation that was written about Fort Bascom, I said this area was primarily buffalo land. You know, now the only thing that's changed is there's fences now, although not as many as there once were, I'm sure. And the buffalo have been replaced with cows. People keep goats, you know, and that's fine too. Anyway, so we've got this whole deal out here, and that's always the way it's been. Oh, and then the dissertation, you got the impression that this place kind of served as a regional back alley for disreputable things. Before the railroad came, there was the Santa Fe Trail came through this territory, although quite a bit north of here. You know, it was a prime place to get attacked by Indians, which is funny because it wasn't like you had somebody who set up a camp. You know, there wasn't an Indian camp on the Canadian River particularly. Just wasn't, you know, the Indians just didn't use it. Although they were often here trading with what was called the Comancheros. The Comanche Indians were pretty much in this area at the time. Although, they didn't live here. You know, their boys and girls weren't raised here. Their wives did not set up camp here and settle here. This was hunting territory. This was where you would go to hunt the buffalo, and you would take it back hundreds of miles back to some more commodious place to be. Anyway, so like I said, this kind of equates to where back alley deals were done between the Comanches and the Comancheros. And the people that did establish themselves here, at first mostly ranchers, and it's devolved back down to being mostly ranchers, they were tired of getting their cows and their horses stolen, which was kind of a traditional thing out here. These things were just considered to be I don't know what you'd call it. Not really a commodity, almost a natural resource. It's like if you looked down at the ground and saw a nugget of gold, you had every expectation that nugget of gold was there to be taken, and you could take it and it could be yours. And if you went to sleep that night and put that nugget of gold down on the ground, and you woke up in the morning and the nugget of gold was gone, well, I hope you enjoyed being the possessor, quote, possessor of a nugget of gold for a couple of for a couple of days or a week or what, or however long you had it, because it was considered kind of just a natural resource that could be taken. I think that's how the Indians predominantly looked at this stuff. So your cow and your horse and everything else was kind of looked the same way. If you didn't actively protect and stop somebody from taking it, then it was basically open for the taking. Now that wasn't a European sensibility. You know, there was brands, there was everything else. Came from other things where they said, no, this animal actually belongs to me. And it doesn't matter where it roams to, you know, it still belongs to me. It's got my brand on it. It belongs to me. And there was a lot of problems with that. One of the reasons that Fort Bascom... Oh, hey, incidentally, here we are in... this is Conscious Lake. The dam's not too far from here, a couple of miles up the road. It's going someplace on one of the state highways here. A couple of miles further up is the Bell Ranch headquarters. The Bell Ranch was a really big deal. There was a cattle trail that came through here. This was one of the crossing points to get across the Canadian River.
Oh.
Anyway, I like the fact that the little, it's more of a kind of dumpy little convenience general store here. Long ago, it stopped saying how much it charged for gas. I think you can still get gas there, but they aren't going to tell you how much it costs. Because they've learned that, you know, it's much easier just to have people stop, and then people will do stuff. There used to be a golf course out here at Conscious Lake. That has since gone away. I think there's still some little bits of it around, but it's pretty much gone now. This was going to be the next big, I don't know, vacation spot, and it pretty much died. There is a bit of an actual town that's still there, Hooverville, although now I think I could just call it Conscious Dam, it's mostly places where people don't go, you know. They're all bought and paid for, but they're owned by people who come up here to recreate during the recreation season, and during the winter, it's just shut down and nobody's actually out here, particularly. Interesting. Of course, all of this stuff has been partitioned up. I know there's five acre lots out here, and you see a big, kind of a big outlined place with lots of power out there. It looked like power for a whole subdivision, and there's probably about, I don't know, it's pretty junky looking, you know. Anyway, that's old Hooverville, now just considered to be called Conscious Dam. I guess the post office is Conscious Dam now. So this place is actually Conscious Dam. And this place is still for sale. Little area, there used to be a bait shop there. And up on top of the hill, I don't think it has any water out there. And every once in a while you go, oh, wouldn't that be cool to have? And you go, Nemro, you don't need it. You don't need it, you silly guy. And you go, you know what? It's absolutely right. I have absolutely no need for this stuff. And just to have it for the wanting is silly, I think. Anyway. So, yep. Everything out here is in a state of reversion. All the development that was attempted out here has pretty much died. Like I said, you know, the Kmart in Tucumcari, the only kind of big, quote, big box store that Tucumcari had for as long as I've lived in Tucumcari, since 1995, 25 years ago, it closed. And everybody's saying, well, maybe somebody will buy it. And they're going, you've got to be kidding. Nobody's going to buy that. You know, certainly not going to be a big box store out here. Tucumcari has had some movement, of course. You know, now it's all small scale stuff. You know, Dollar General, Family Dollar. Things like that. I hear that O'Reilly Auto Parts is going to open up a store there in Tucumcari. Not a bad idea. There's quite some traffic in auto parts because we're right along the interstate and cars do break down and stuff like that happens. So it's pretty good business, I'd have to say. Anyway, I've been followed pretty closely by a truck with a trailer, horse trailer on it. I think I'm going to pull over and at some convenient point. Let them pass me. I don't like this. This equates to traffic in my world. So I kind of want them to get past me so I can go on with my travels unmolested. There's a turnoff up here soon that I think I'll just kind of pull off as if I'm taking a turn. And it goes down to Newkirk. And I'll just pull over there. This is my camping vehicle. This is the Ford Explorer that my daughter got given to her. gravel and such.
Called a gravel pit.
And you always look around and you'll see old houses, you'll see old windmills and stuff like that, totally indicative of the fact that there used to be more activity up here. Yeah, everywhere around here, you know. There were more, I wouldn't know, branches, there were farms, and they just disappeared. Just the lack of, you know, a couple of good years, and you'd go, you know what, I could make this farming into a, you know, this is pretty good. And then all of a sudden the next drought would come. You have to understand this place is always in a drought. Said, you should call them the, because they used to call it the 11-year drought cycle. I don't know if that's still true. With climate change, it's hard to say. But yeah, droughts would go on for about 11 years. And if you weren't established enough going into the drought, you wouldn't make it. Now, places like Clovis and Portales, you can see from satellite pictures, which are cool and readily available these days, all the irrigation that's been done, all the pivots. If you see little circles everywhere, that's where irrigation is being done, the more modern irrigation. And those are around Clovis and Portales. There are a few of those around Tucumcari, but hardly any. Probably because they've... Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway. And then you get out of those areas, and those go away, and that's, you know, you can see where farming is happening. It's around those pivots, they're called. Pivot irrigation. Anyway, farming never happened here, as far as I'm aware. I mean, if it had, it's long gone now. I might today go to Ancon or Anchon. I don't know how it's pronounced, and not too far from where I am, where I'm headed, and might take some pictures out there. There's actual agriculture going on there, or there was. And it's in just a little horseshoe bend of the Canadian River. One of the trickier parts is flooding happens there, so you've got to be prepared for the fact that there could be a flood. Although I don't recall when in recent history we've had a lot of flooding at all. It happens occasionally, like maybe every 100 years. And anyway, so. Alright, now we're coming off of one big plateau here and going down into this valley. This is where Magnolia Road is. And they were selling a lot of lots of land over here. There was a development selling off like 5-acre, 10-acre parcels of land. Some of them are still for sale. Very few people did anything with anything on Magnolia Road. There was supposed to be some kind of an association that actually you paid into every year to have Magnolia Road actually you know, fixed up. And looks like they're working on it. Good for them. be, you know, kind of a sad to say what I would probably do, which is try and just have a trophy piece of land, you know. And they pretty much said now that it's mostly for recreation, although you can build on it. Nothing to stop you from building on it. You know, it's like, what are you gonna do? It's not like it's close to a big recreation thing. They always thought that it being close enough to Conscious Lake would actually be worthwhile. This is Little Cuervo Creek. It is dry, which means the water's down lower in the ground. Here is the entryway to where the Wettins live. Family I've known from church for 25 years. There it is. So anyway, a couple of horse butts in front of me. Somebody transporting their horses. Major thing these days. Anyway, what else do I really have to say? Not a lot. We're coming close to the next little place we're going to come to is Veriadero and Garita. It's actually Veriadero. The actual town site of Garita is a little east of the road. West of the road, pardon me, it's on the west side. There's actually a post office. The Garita post office is on the road. Little activity there. There seemed to be a guy there who was, there's some trade in stone, sandstone. Some people like to build, you know, put on their houses some sandstone, because it's rather smooth, and certainly fits with the local climate. Anyway, and I remember passing by and seeing some pallets of stone happening. And apparently, whoever was doing it, it either wasn't making enough money or they left or something. Because I don't see much more of that anymore. When we go past today, I'll make a comment on it. And we'll see what's happening. Anyway, they strung fiber out here, so anybody who lives out here has fiber optic internet, boy, which is great. I had fiber optic internet for Talus, and it was pretty nice. Now, the DSL that I have in Tucum carries slightly cheaper, and quick enough for my needs. You know, I run my server, and we do quite a lot of gotten to be one of those cord cutters that get most of our internet, our entertainment off of the internet. YouTube, Matt likes YouTube. I do too, for the little stuff, and Lisa just recently got a subscription to the Hallmark channel, and we were watching that a lot last week, although now she's back to watching Stargate, which we have on DVD. And, well, we'll just see how that goes. Anyway, still very scenic. It's much greener here than further south. Of course, this is mostly from the scrub. I don't even know what this stuff is called. Pinyon? No, I don't think it's that. I forget what this stuff is. Spiky. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody came out here and said, oh yeah, it's this. It's like, oh, okay. And you go, it's everywhere here. The ranchers who get enough resources together, along with taking out as much of the cactus as they can, they'll also tear out all these bushes. They're technically trees, but they're really small, scrubby trees. Anyway, we're just about coming to the other side of Magnolia Road. It's a bit of a loop, and I've been all the way from one side to the other, and it's just some valleys. Me personally, I'm more of I would much rather be up on the side of what do you call it? Anyway, well, this guy's going down the backside of Magnolia Road with his horses. Excellent. So there's somebody doing something on my Magnolia Road. He's doing that. Anyway, I would much rather have something kind of up the side of one of these mesas, of which we have many. Almost all of this is mesa land. To my north here, I'm actually traveling northwest according to my compass. 58 degrees. It'll be a beautiful day. The Canadian Escarpment. This entire region is pretty much, it used to be a sea, I hear, and then it was, then there was the Canadian River, and the Canadian River has pretty much cut out most of this interesting terrain here. Ooh, I can see the Canadian Escarpment now. It's very high, very nice. It reminds somebody of mountains, and when you're down at the bottom of this stuff, it could be 1,000 feet up to get to the tops of these. Very cool looking. In fact, I should pull over, and I'm going to pull over and take a picture of this because it's kind of cool with the clouds and how the sun is kind of shining on parts of this. Go ahead and keep recording anyway. Helps to put that in gear. Oh! I was looking at trying to get this, I was already ready for this. I'm not sure how it's going to come out in the photo. But we're going to try to get it. Anyway, okay. Oh! Beautiful territory, let me tell you. It's weird to try to own something. And the nice thing about the Sabinoso Wilderness is you can have that feeling really of ownership, which isn't, I guess, really isn't what I'm at. It's just being able to be in the midst of it. It's kind of nice. We just passed Garita Creek. Up here, not far away, we'll actually run into Varadero. Like I was talking about. Anyway, we're still in kind of that Magnolia Road area, which is, I guess, people still kind of look at it and say, this is still kind of conscious river territory. There's the occasional house out here. Most of them have been abandoned. you know. Back when these big ranches needed more manpower, more people. Or it was just traditional to have more people, I guess. And, like, I'm looking out at an old single-wide trailer, and it looks like it hasn't been lived in 20 years. It's starting to kind of look weird. And it gives every indication that somebody used to live out there, and people don't anymore. Land's all still owned by somebody, you know, and there's still cattle on it, still being run. But yeah, with the advent of vehicles, you know, 4x4s, stuff like that, not that everybody out here doesn't still do horses, you just don't need as many people out here. But there's a pretty nice double wide right there. I don't see anybody. You know, it might have been out, put out there for another reason. Here's, looks like the old stone. It could have been someplace, some shepherd's shack out here. You'll see a lot of these all over the place, and they're gone now. You know. This is still indicative of the old times when a person, you know, got their 160 acres or some such and tried to improve it so they could hang on to it. And let me tell you, the Dust Bowl came, really bad drought came through, and everybody found out then that this was no place to be. I, like I said, I was looking on the old maps, and the old maps, you know, were not very, not very complimentary of this territory. It's called the Great American Desert, and it was, I forget the terms, atrocious? No. Just a horrible place. People would typically even avoid it, just passing through it. And the whole thought that, and the U.S. government just treated it like every place else, you know. If somebody hadn't already pretty much claimed all the land, and a lot of land in this territory and north of here and around here were land grants, big land grants. So they had already been rendered into rather large ranches. So that there was no, you know, there wasn't a lot of however you call it, wasn't a lot of chunking it up into 160-acre parcels and homesteading, because people had already said this is not homesteadable land. You know, you would do a great disservice telling people they should. Although there was still a lot of land speculation here, mostly further south than this. Anyway, so yeah, here we go. Here is, we're coming into Varadero. Roadside grave markers. That must be a recent one, because, boy, let me tell you, it's got all kinds of stuff on it. Either somebody died recently or somebody who is very well loved. We are coming down into the valley where Varadero is. Off to the west was the actual site of Garita itself. The only going concern here anymore now is the post office. And there's a church here, and I've got pictures of all this on the website. You can go to it, quicks.us/Wilfornia, and look around, and you'll see a thing for Garita and Varadero, and I think, and, well, anyway, there was actually a few communities attempted here. Varadero is the only one that's really kind of left. And there's a sign. here's the people. This guy had a front loader. He had all kinds of equipment. And here's old houses with an old windmill on it. This whole section used to be part of the town. There's actually, you know, you go down there and there's, you know, there's streets and it's, and there's actually a bridge across the thing here. I don't know if that used to be an old railroad bridge. It sure looks nice enough to me. It's a really nice bridge. Cement. And, anyway, so, but yeah, there's just a few people left here and it's, you know, and I don't see any, you've got front loader stuff, but not much. Usually when I'm here, when I go by, if there's anybody out, they'll wave at me. Because they're really nice people out here. And there's almost nobody that drives through this area. Anyway, here's the old post office. Still there. The only, like I said, the only going concern here is the post office. I tried to go in there and go to the bathroom, and they gave me this look and said, no, the bathroom in here is for me. It's not for you. It's like, oh, okay. Because they're just that way. I can already see a mesa, some nice mesas here. We'll go past that one. It's more north toward Trementina. The Bell Ranch is to my right here, going east. We're going to come out of this little valley. Down the road, Trujillo, the actual town of Trujillo, the actual sign is on the highway, but the actual town, and you can always tell where the town site was because there's usually been a church there, at least, and a graveyard, a cemetery, and I went to the Trujillo Cemetery, which is the thing. It's mostly in somebody's kind of ranch compound, so I'm always a little, it's a state-maintained road, so therefore you can use it. It's not that it's you're trespassing, but you kind of feel like you are. So it's a little weird. You can technically go through gates, especially if they're across county or state-maintained roadways. You know, you're paying for that thing to be maintained, so you can use it. But it's usually just to get out to somebody's place for the kids. It's state-maintained, so the school buses can go there, which is kind of funny. You know, other states I know have little huts by the side of the paved roads, and you're supposed to bring your kids to the hut, and the hut's there to protect them from weather until the bus can come and pick them up. So, kind of a bus stop. And but New Mexico, I don't know why it's different here, but it kind of is that buses will tend to come to your house. I think there's some kind of thing that you can't make a kid walk more than a mile from their domicile to someplace else. Uh-oh, we have a, what is that? This is some kind of, usually the only people who have flashy lights are transportation people. So for all I know, they've got, and it's yellow and blue. I don't think this is police. This is probably just the transport, the road maintenance people. We'll see. He pulled over for me for some reason. I don't know. get out of my way. I'm not exactly sure what that's all about, but he sure waved at me, so it's okay. We're not causing any problems. The next road maintenance office is up here in Trementina, which is the only going concern in Trementina is that. Besides ranching, there's ranches all around this place. So that's just the way it is. So yeah, when I say going concern, I'm not counting the ranches, because the ranches are a given. They're here. I find this always funny. There's Adopt-a-Highway, and there's a stretch of Adopt-a-Highway here. I don't think anybody really has to pick up around here. It's in memory of Cheryl Ann Gonzalez, my mom and dad. So they're supposed to control this area, and there's junk. I can see a little bit of junk, although there will never be much junk because there's hardly any passing by here. Here is our historic thing. We have picnicked here. May not be a bad idea to picnic here right now. Roadside table here. And a little thing that says the Canadian Escarpment. Prominent landform of northeast New Mexico. Ooh, they painted this one. Because there used to be all kinds of graffiti on this one. Not big graffiti. But somebody's coming. So the graffiti's gone now. Canadian Escarpment. This is a huge thing. Almost 100 miles between Las Vegas and Clayton. Grasslands of the high plains reach northwestward to the foot of the Southern Rocky Mountains, which rise to the elevations of more than 1,300 feet. Elevation here is only 6,300 feet. So I've been going up quite a bit. Tucumcari is just right at 4,000, so now we're at 6,300. And the top, which I'm not getting to today, it is quite a bit higher than that. Like, there's a peak right there, just kind of the top of a mesa, which is probably close to, if we're up at 6,000 feet here, it's probably close to 7 or 8,000 feet up there. I always thought that it might be cool to have kind of something akin to a helicopter. Kind of a drone-y sort of a thing. To be able to go up to the top of these things. If you can do it quick enough to get up there, you can, you know, the rancher isn't going to be able to go up there and enforce anything. He isn't going to be able to do anything to you. You know, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I can't stop him and take me, you know, I don't go up there. He says, it takes me on a horse, coaxing the horse to try to get up to that level. And it's like, nah, it's not going to happen. Anyway. A guy that kind of runs his own junk pile, I tell you. People collect cars. Of course, the tricky thing is, once you get a vehicle, you can hardly get rid of it easily. So a lot of these places just have junked up old things. I don't know what these people do out here. Trementina's probably chunked up. If I looked at land value, I'd probably see the chunking up that's been done to take into account the fact that there's I think I have looked. And, yeah. But yet again, why buy it? If you're not going to live there, and my wife is not interested in vacationing there, what's the point? I was looking not too long ago up where, close to where my daughter is, Brenna Jelaine. She is up there doing earth shifts west of Taos. And they're selling quarter-acre parcels of land for $750. I've got the money, I could just buy one. Of course, the funny thing is, what would you do with it? The Trementina post office is attached to somebody's house, and you gotta go down a dirt road to get to it. I've been down there, I looked at the post office, and it was like, well, okay. They might have made it a little bit nicer, but there's a post office in Trementina. It's run by somebody who's always run the post office in Trementina. When they die, it'll probably get consolidated into the Garita one, and that'll be it. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. It's kind of a leased post office. So, I like Trementina. It's probably got the most interesting... let me tell you, all this is beautiful. It's just cool. But it's totally just nothing. I mean, it all belongs to some big ranching company, and they run cattle on it. But other than that, there's nothing going on here. You know, a couple of the more decent houses have been fixed up, and ranch hands live in it. You know. And that's about it. I always tried to talk my brother, not always, but on occasion I've tried to talk my brother-in-law. Now he's I think in his 60s now. And so I don't really picture him coming out here to ranch particularly. He sells himself. He's from Alberta. He's been living up in Canada and Alberta. His family settled there around the turn of the century, part of the Mormon expansion into Canada back in the day. Anyway, shoot, what else do I have to say? Well, I'm guessing what I'm doing is I'm probably going to go ahead. It's a pretty nice little spread right here, although it looks like, oh, yeah, oh, trespassing, we're not over ranch. You gotta say that anymore. Gates closed, because you don't know what kind of weird people are gonna be around. Someday when I get myself a decent amateur radio, high frequency amateur radio, which I'm kind of hoping I can snake out of this $1,200 or so that every adult is supposed to be getting from the government. Oh, there's a bunch of subdivided land I seem to recall up here. They had been trying to sell it for a while up here by Conscious Ranch. This is Corazon Road, and we're coming up to Corazon Hill. So I'm almost to my destination. Oh, I didn't talk about the Scientologists over by Trementina, but we're not going to get. I don't think we're going to get too weird about that one. So anyway, I'm on vacation, having a good old time, and I'm thinking I don't want to spend too much time in the wilderness just to mark that it's there, take some pictures, and ahead, and it's only been an hour and 16 minutes? Wow. It doesn't take very long to get here. It takes 2 hours to get to Las Vegas, and I know that this place is a half an hour short. So I'm only an hour and a half from Wilderness Area. That's wonderful. I always felt like that the Sabinoso Wilderness was almost like a gift, a personal gift to God to me. It's just wonderful. And, you know, have to express your gratitude over and over and over again for these wonders. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just amazing. Anyway, so, yep, cool looking, but definitely just marginal rangeland. It was good for buffalo. I swear we should bring buffalo back, but I think keeping buffalo within fences is kind of tricky. Cows are a lot easier. And the market for cow is bigger. Although I dare say that the market for buffalo is probably more lucrative. It's just harder to figure out what to do with them. You know, you have to find a place that wants to deal in exotic meat, the hides, stuff like that. Not a horrible enterprise, but something that only rich people should really get into, I think. Most of these ranches are owned by large moneyed conglomerates that are not that aren't really, the money didn't come from ranching. It came from something else, and they needed an investment to sink the ooh, there's some cream colored cows. Nice. I don't know. I know Angus is something that is marketed heavily, and so if you do Angus cattle, all the better. I know the grouse up in Grady. I grew up with grouse. I went to school with a couple of grouse at the day, and they were. They do limousine cattle, and I guess the actual vehicle was named after the cow, because I think they're kind of shaped the same way. A little low slung, a little long, a little lower slung, a little longer than other breeds. Anyway, so, but yeah, I don't see anybody out there. Yes, we are selling hamburgers made from 100% limousine beef. And you go, I've never heard of that being done. Anyway, there's some ranch houses out here. Here's an interesting place. I should just stop and get some pictures, because I think I've done this and I never took the pictures of it. Of this shrine. Somebody made this shrine a long time ago. Very Catholic. It's got a huge, like, rosary thing. If you want to go to hell soon, just try and break it. Oh good, it's open. So we're gonna go in here. The great part about this vehicle is price one. It's pretty heavy, so I can take it in interesting places. It got an outhouse out here. That's nice. Oh boy. Whoa! That is a traction here. got gates everywhere. Anyway, okay, I think this is as far as I'm gonna go. We'll take some pictures here. I wouldn't doubt that it's the Pacheco's ranch. We're gonna take a picture here. Oh, what a beautiful day. It's so cool. If it did have a sign on it, it's gone away. All right. Been here once before. Seems like a family tree. I don't know if it's technically a mausoleum. But it's got all the things. It's actually got it's like a handicapped access room. I forget what it's called. I seem to recall if there was a sign there to help you kind of figure out what it was. Not there. There's some fenced off parts of this. And a lot of rocks, I don't understand that. But anyway. I'm trying not to be... Somebody had taken the effort to the trash can. Nice fence around this place. And it's a shrine. You know, of a obviously Catholic persuasion. A little bit here, a little bit there. But it's almost like an altar. I think I had a left side. A big rosary. Almost like stations. Here's another one. Yeah, these are Pacheco's. I can see some Pacheco names here. Lots of places to light candles. Bless our babies. Oh, this is either a memorial or a actual resting place. Okay. helpful, not just a little fence stuff. And of course, I don't understand all this. We got an outhouse out here. You can see a little outhouse there in the valley. Maybe. Okay. Continue our journey. Oh. Found my fine vehicle. New tires, at least on the front of this. So we should be okay. Don't go crazy, you know. Gee whiz. But this is an all-wheel drive vehicle. Made for all-wheel drive stuff? Yeah, I believe this is Pacheco Land here. And, here. I like their sign. If you want to get in hell soon, just try and break in. Okay, we are now proceeding up Corazon Hill. This is where I will waste most of my gas, just trying to get up this thing. 35 is a little heavy. You probably need to go about 30. That's what the sign says to take this at. People come down here like a banshee. My friend, Mickey Truesdale, says that he can only imagine how many carcasses of old vehicles are down at the bottom of the hill. There is now a guardrail here, which I guess in the past there wasn't one, or it wasn't very good. I'm looking down there, and I'm not seeing any crashed vehicles, but then again, you know, I'm not looking that hard. Apparently this road's been here since he was a kid, so 50s, all these roads have been here forever, so at least for anybody who's alive now, their memory. So anyway, yeah, it's way up here. We're climbing pretty high. In fact, I think what I'm gonna do is I've got the software on my phone to tell me how high we've we're going. And on the way back, I may actually try to get a sense for where we are and where we've been. So, and then we'll take a look at that. Because I think the actual wilderness is back down. It's basically a canyon. Satellites here. It says I'm only at 62,000 feet. See, like I said, the only thing to travel this road are Department of Transportation. Guys that are actually up here maintaining the roads. Drive through here to make sure there's no rocks on the road that are going to kill somebody. Alright, here we are. Oop, waiting for a GPS fix. Always been, boy, these guys are really fixing this place up. I think they just like it here. It used to not be much, and they used to have a little RV park, and they've always been trying to turn this into kind of a thing. It looks like they are working hard, because there is a lot of improvement being made. I wonder if they're just, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, the heck of a house here. All right, so we're up at 62,000 feet. Not too high, not too tough. 64,000 feet. Okay, now I've got to go. There used to be a little spit of a road that went straight across this, but they, boy, they've done a good job of getting rid of that. Can't hardly tell it ever existed. Okay. Now there should be signs here. And there it is. Whoa! Oh, look at that sign. It says Sabinoso Wilderness 10 miles. I'm gonna get a picture of that. This is a big deal. There, I mean, when I drove here, I felt like I was trespassing.
Yes, technically I was, until they decided to turn it into a wilderness. Okay, let's get to the camera again. Two signs there. Guys, go, go, go!
Well, I picked a good day. I might not be dressed right for it, but I'm going to wait. I need to get an oil change. So I might be due for some oil change. Damages or injury. I like that. car. That all blocked off. So you can't get to it yet. Old house.
Church above it.
I'm going to take a picture of that when I come back through here. I'm going to take my kind of breakfast. Before I go into the wilderness, kind of at the trailhead. Oh. I've never been there. This is new for me. Boy, the trees have gotten quite a bit nicer and bigger. And, so much of the scrubby stuff. I think it's because we're a little bit higher and just nice. Deer, and you go, not a big deal. There's always plenty of deer around here. You want to take a picture of them? You can take a picture of them, I guess. Where they go running off. There's somebody's old house, and there could be somebody living in it. Anyway, there's a deer off running off. God's country. I get the impression that the Estradas in God's country aren't really there anymore. I think they gave up. Or they don't live there. They may just be someplace they go to at some point. Some old grandpa's place. And they hang on to it. You know, if people have enough resources, and if it doesn't cost too much to hang on to it, people just hold on to stuff for sentimental value, even though it's not really a productive, place. The Marrows down there. Wow, this is a... There's a lot back here. Come to our ranch, right? sorts of things, these sorts of places. And it really kind of ends up being so, you know, I don't really know what the appeal is to it, really. But, got it. Whoa. Spicy penne pasta vegetarian. How come I had to grab a vegetarian? Normal for this kind of business.
A lot of people go to the gate and they go in there. No. They're not bounding on two different places. So, you can go through gate.
Yeah. And mark no trespassing, well, that's one thing. But, otherwise, perfectly acceptable. And you'll never get anywhere interesting
if you let it get stuck. That's kind of my take on the whole thing. It is. We're actually getting kind of pine trees and stuff here, man. This is great.
I really will. I'm kind of sad that Lacey decided not to come with me. She does not like adventures. At least not these things. She likes incredibly safe things. I love her. You know, I'm not, I understand her trials. Oh, let's get this thing out. Oh. Right on a bumpy road. On a bumpy road. Oh. This really is kind of pretty. And nice. Not mountains, but, you know, with all these trees around, I always say, how can you ranch, how do you handle all these cattle with all these trees? Now, I know that anymore, you could probably put some kind of tag on. Track to the battle, you know. That's pretty exciting. word is always hit the trailhead, man. Hit the trailhead. Used to have to go over to on the far side of Las Vegas and find places to go there. And I would just get a state vehicle. I think the statute of limitations is now gone for me getting into trouble for that. But, I would go down these horrible dirt roads and basically, what were those things? A Ford Taurus? You know, not high slung at all. Not made for that kind of travel at all. And I mean, buddy, I was almost scared a couple of times that I wouldn't get through that road. Trying to clean up those roads every now and then because I needed to, you know. It's important. Okay, let's see what we're doing here. It says wilderness. That's confusing. Private road. Okay. So we go this way. Alright. That's really confusing. I do have a 2-meter radio. I've got it turned on all the time, and there is nothing on it. Zero. Absolutely zilch. And then they say, well, what about 3 peers? You go, we do have a repeater. We have a repeater in Tucum Carry. Nobody's on it. It's run by one guy, and he doesn't get on much. You know, it's kind of like me. Can I be honest? I'm this guy. I'll build up the infrastructure. But often, commonly, I won't actually use it. You know? Back in the day, they used to theorize bulletin boards. And, really social type people would get on these things. And the only problem was I wasn't really social type. So I could put one up, but nobody would come to it because they'd go, well, there's not much to do on yours. And you go, yeah, that's one of my problems. I don't have a lot of stuff. So a lot of my things kind of responsibility. I do the gopher. Oh, my God. Ooh. Not really a longhorn. Kind of like that. closer. We're getting closer. I really do need to get my back tires taken off to get those replaced as well.
Whoa!
Once we get to the trailhead, I'll go ahead and eat. So we'll turn off the recording.
Wheat snack.
I've been to everybody left candy bars, but given the sign that I am going to go through this gate that says no trespassing. And I just barely hit a mile. Here's a, yeah, that's right. Rimrock Rose Ranch. That is, now for all I know, I'll put this sucker back.
Okay, but you can't come here during during COVID. Oh, it didn't even have a chain. There we go. There we are. Okay. Yeah, and I can even see where it's going to shoot out a little bit.
This is almost like a little...
Hold on, somebody intentionally puts it down. Grill. Well...
Okay. Don't know what that means. Next one says, boy, they've been putting inside, they put in a culvert. We're going down. I'm going down, 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 down. Down. I've got old enough that the cheese spread is usually just junk. Yeah, I don't know. For all I know, it always looks this way. But this one actually behaves kind of like a spread. That's different. Usually. Oh. On fake wheat bread. Not bad. We just put a culvert there. Oh. Oh, hell. All right. This can't possibly. Okay, there's a sign that says Avenue Saloon, and it's 1 mile. Excellent. Anyway, so we're on the right thing. It was okay to go through. Mister, don't go through here. I mean, it was like going straight up the Sun Mountain, and you were going, this isn't a row, this is a pile of rocks. For that kind of thing. Oh my gosh. This kind of reminds me of that kind of thing. I'm going down. Oh, I'm hitting rocks. This little bit here isn't very good. I'm driving our type of vehicle. This is the kind of stuff that would scare me. So I can say she's not coming. This is why it's a wilderness as opposed to a nice, safe, state park. Now, places to pump. Water fountains. Nice glades. Oh, you did not. A lot of nice glades. Wildernesses, let me tell you. Some of the Pecos wilderness is excellent. Upon something that's like, wow, this is beautiful. Yep, it's beautiful. How many people see it? Hardly any. You go, well, you know, I get those books about hiking in the Pecos wilderness, and they'll apparently back east, when they say heavily traveled, it means there's a constant stream of people. You're going to run into maybe 100 people as you go along any section of a hike, I guess.
Out here, you run into...
If you run into a group of maybe 10 people, wow, that's a pretty good day. Now, this particular place, not tied to a state park, or not tied to a national park, or not part of a very well-established place. Somebody really tore up that quarter-mile sign. Not suitable for vehicles on land. Okay. All right. This is the place. Oh, wow. I'm going to come out and take a picture of this. Here's my cheese spread. Bread. So I'm going to take a picture for Pete's sake. This sign seems to do okay. But this one, it actually says something. Not very... It would probably say something. If it was, so I don't know. Torn up. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and kill off this recording.
turn off my recording. There we go. 2 hours and 16 minutes it took me to get here. And that was with backtracking a little bit and being a little bit cautious. But, yeah, it takes about 2 hours to get here. Good. Excellent. Okay. We'll probably do this again a little bit later. Talk to you later. Bye.